Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this lovely July summer Sabbath day. Wasn't that rain just wonderful? A blessing, and we are so happy to have it. We will start our worship service with our call to worship. Blessed are those who trust God, whose trust is in the Lord. They are like trees planted by water, sending out roots by the stream. They have no fear of summer's heat, nor do they wither in the sun. In the year of drought, they are not anxious, for their lives bear the fruit of righteousness. Come to the waters of life, all you who trust in the Lord. We have come to worship and to send forth our roots into streams of God's living water. Amen. Okay, at this time we will have our unison prayer, which is on the screen. God, our Father, you redeem us and make us your children in Christ. Look upon us, give us the true freedom, and bring us to the inheritance you promised. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. So at this time, would you please stand, and we will welcome the light of Christ into our service.
Good morning. Gosh, it looks so great to see a lot of the pews filled this morning, especially with our campers. Okay, well, as Teresa said, it's a joyful morning that we've had rain and we're all able to be here. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come again to worship you with songs, praise, prayers, and to hear your word. Thank you for your answer to prayers and for the joys we have each day just knowing that you are our Savior. We are thankful for your presence here today and always. Please help us to worship you in truth and spirit. And please allow the Holy Spirit to be in our midst this morning. And as we leave the building today, Lord, give us courage to speak up in your name and give us the wisdom to know just what and how to say things to bring glory to you. We thank you for Pastor Roberta as she comes to lead us in your word. Bless her and lay your loving hands on Mike and others named here as they struggle to get back to good health or other things that are making their lives burdensome right now. We know that you love us so much, and we thank you so much for your mercies and grace to everyone here. And for everyone who is away, we ask your blessings to be on them also. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And now, if you'll join me for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading this morning comes from Matthew 1, verses 1 through 3, and then Luke 6, 23 to 26. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. From Luke 6:23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated these false prophets. Scripture response, if you would join me. Leader, for the word of God in Scripture. And for the word of God among us, we say, thank you. One of my favorite contemporary sort of Christian songs is Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood. Anybody remember that song? Some of you are saying yes, you do. Now, I know nothing about her personal life or her for that matter, but in this song, she captures that moment when we realize that our lives and everything that we have, everything we are or ever hope to be, rests in the hands of God, and that Jesus is the driver of our lives, so to speak. So for me, in just a few words, she captures that moment when we truly understand what it means to be poor in spirit. In a certain kind of way, we might say we come to the point of throwing up our hands and saying, Jesus, take the wheel, is when we truly experience a poverty of spirit. For those of you who have never heard that song, the way she starts out is she was driving last night on a Friday night on her way to Cincinnati, and it was a snowy white Christmas Eve. She was going home to see her parents. She had her baby in a back seat. She says she had 50 miles to go. She was running low on faith and gasoline, and she'd had a long, hard year. She had her lot on her mind, and she wasn't really paying attention, and she was going way too fast. So before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She said she saw both their lives flash before their eyes. She hadn't even time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air and said, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. Give me one more chance to save me from this road that I am on. Jesus, take the wheel. I've been there, literally. It was much like a night that Carrie describes. I was driving home from seminary on an icy, sleeting night, and that night I did something that I rarely ever did. I slapped on my seatbelt before I left. Yeah, this was before they had seatbelt laws. It was a suggestion back then. But I hadn't gone very far, and I was just crossing the bridge at Michigan Avenue in Indianapolis when a car crossed into my path head on. The headlights were blinding my eyes, and I couldn't see. But I knew the road well enough to know there was no place to go, and there wasn't anything that I could do. You couldn't go right, you couldn't go left. You just had to stay where you were. So there really wasn't anything to do but to sink down in that seat and take whatever impact was to come. And it was in that moment that I knew my life and everything that I was to be and was now was in the hands of God, that there was nothing I could do, but maybe like Carrie Underwood say, a short prayer. So I prayed, not my will, but your will. It wasn't time for much else, and what else can one pray at such a time as that? Some minutes later, I found myself awakening to someone pounding on my car and sirens screaming, and all I knew was that I was alive and that Jesus had taken the wheel that night. As they extracted me from my car, I'd realized I'd been blessed, but I really didn't understand the blessing. When I went to pick up my things from the car, the guys looked at me and said, "You're alive. We had a bet going on that you died in that wreck." I'm thinking, "Really? You bet on me?" Okay. Nevertheless, being hit head-on isn't exactly how any of us would define our blessings, but the truth is, I should have never lived through that accident, nor should I have walked away with the few injuries that I had or the months of physical therapy that I did. But that wasn't the blessing. The blessing was that in that moment, I realized my total dependence and need for God, that as the Bible says in the Psalms, without God in the driver's seat, I am but a worm. When was it that you realized your total dependence on God? That you were but a worm. Or perhaps I should ask, do you realize how totally dependent on God and not yourself that you are? Do you realize you cannot save yourself from anything and not even yourself? Because I'm not sure that I did. I mean, yes, I knew it, but I'm not sure I totally got it. But knowing something in the moment of realization, they are two different things. We can know who God is. We can know all about God. We can be educated about God. We can go to Sunday school. We can know that God is our creator. But to realize the power of God and our need for God is an awesome and a frightening thing. And we all get there in different ways, at different times, and usually more than once. But we don't usually have to get head on to get the point. I don't know, maybe I'm just a little stubborn. In today's text, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Whichever way one looks at this simple statement, it's rather disturbing. Being poor isn't exactly nice by anyone's standard, and it's hard to understand why Jesus would say that anyone who is poor is blessed. So it's kind of helpful to remember that the New Testament's been translated from the Greek, and so there's a number of ways that a translation or a sentence like this can be translated. And in this text, it's a little bit different. The Daily Study Bible translated it follows, "Oh, the bliss of the person who has realized his or her own utter helplessness and who has put their whole trust in God. For in this way alone can he or she give God the perfect obedience which will make them a citizen of the kingdom of heaven." Now the Message translates it as, "You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule." I love that. With less of you, there is more of God and God's rule. Contemporary English says, "God blesses those people who depend only on him. They belong to the kingdom of heaven." So to me, it seems that at least in this text, the word poor means a whole lot more than merely a lack of money and goods. In fact, Jesus really isn't referring to being rich in material things at all. If we look at the text as we looked at it this morning and compare it to Matthew, we find that in Luke, following these verses, Jesus foretells the sorrows of the rich when they choose to live outside of God's favor, as an illustration as to what can keep us from realizing our need for God. So I don't think Jesus' point is that to be blessed, we have to give up the goods. Don't run off, sell your house, give away the family dog, and clear out your accounts right now. What Jesus is saying is that we who are rich in knowledge and goods need to be really careful that we don't come to rely on those things for our salvation and our happiness, because they won't get us there. I know, we think they will, but they won't. Now, if you remember last week, we said that the word blessing is translated as makarios, which means happy. Homer said that a man is makarios when he has wealth, a good wife, and children. Others have said, We are blessed or happy when we have power, fame, and a life of pleasure, or when we can live joyously without suffering and find constant, non-stop satisfaction in life. If we're honest with ourselves, most of us, as I said last week, are just in the pursuit of happiness, which we have not found yet. So if my happy isn't based on my goods and abilities, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Because frankly, if we're honest, we like our stuff. I just moved a whole house of stuff. I don't know. I like my stuff. I like my car, my house, my two-car garage. I like my dog. I love my husband. And plans for a retirement someday. In the Bible, there are two words for poor, patochos and pinos. The word Jesus uses here is patochos. And it means more than just being materially poor. In fact, the correct meaning of patochos is beggar. And it differs in meaning because pinos indicates that a person at least has something. In our culture, a pinos person would have a place to live, but patochos implies a person who is living in the streets and has absolutely nothing, nada, not even the basics covered. Unlike homeless today, they don't even have a little tent or a backpack. They have their clothes on their back. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying that we are really happy or blessed when we are beggars in spirit. That real happiness is realizing that you are a spiritual beggar out in the streets having nothing spiritually. That you come before God with your arms open, seeking for God to fill you. Do you see yourself as having nothing spiritually? Because a lot of times we think we're really full spiritually, so full spiritually, that we forget to ask and beg God to fill us with the power of His Holy Spirit and His love and His grace. Because the truth is, if we honestly believe we're spiritual poor, we will come begging to God for help in our daily lives. It's like that next stand-in Carrie Underwood's song. She said, you know, it was still getting colder when she made it to the shoulder, and then she cried when she saw that baby in the back seat sleeping through the whole thing. She said for a long time she bowed her head to pray. And then she said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. So for now on, tonight, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. Give me one more chance to save me from this road I'm on. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. What a daily prayer that would be. Jesus, take the wheel because I can't do this. I can't do today on my own. So right this moment, I'm letting go. Give me a chance for whatever I've done wrong. Give me a chance. Save me, Jesus, from the road that I'm on. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. So every day, we need Jesus to take that wheel. That's the prayer of one who experiences a poverty in spirit. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever suffered from true depression, but I know people who truly have. And it differs remarkably from having a bad day or a down day. If it's a biological state, it's debilitating. It robs you of everything. Even your desire to live, no matter what your future holds, and if you've ever truly been there, then you know you can't crawl out of that hole on your own. You know that while hospitals and psychologists, therapists, and drugs can help, they can't save you, and that you can't make it on your own. The problem is, we always think we can. One more hospital, one more doctor, one more drug, and I'll be well, happy, 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 and that's why we call them happy pills. Now, I am not saying, and I don't want you to hear me saying, that treatment isn't necessary or beneficial here, so please don't hear that. Because treatment for one's mental health and well-being is of utmost importance. And sometimes getting treatment is letting Jesus take the wheel, folks. But it's also true that sometimes treatment doesn't always work the way we feel. And all of a sudden, we realize that we can't rise above the ashes on our own, and we need a little more help than what we're getting right now. We're out of options. Maybe our friends don't understand, and we need someone or something greater than ourselves because we are powerless over the disease, and only God can truly save us. That state of powerless before God is spiritual poverty, or as Jesus puts it, being blessed. Jesus makes it clear. We can't be a part of the kingdom here on earth or the future kingdom of God if we can't recognize our total dependence on Him. Admit that without Christ, we are powerless. Now, powerless does not mean cowering, timidness, being a doormat, or even being intimidated. Powerless in this sense means we are powerless over whatever it is that is keeping us from realizing our need for God or becoming spiritually poor enough to know that we need God. I see people every day who have no clue that they need God on a daily basis. Yeah, they're Christians. But they don't truly wake up and go through their day with that feeling that they have a need of God. Because they think they're full. Jesus isn't saying that the rich in spirit, knowledge, or goods can't be blessed or part of the kingdom here on earth. But what He is saying is that for those of us who are rich or consider ourselves rich or good or even services, spiritual matters, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Why? Because we have to become empty enough to become open enough to receive the blessings of God, and we can't do that if we're full of ourselves, full of our knowledge, our success, our stuff, what we know. The point is, when we believe we are self-sufficient and can solve our own problems and can meet our own needs, and we have no room for Jesus and recognize no need of Him. And that's what happens when we get comfortable with ourselves. And what keeps us from recognizing our need of Him is generally our pride or this lack of humility before God. The truth is, you cannot experience being blessed without true humility. And Jesus understood that all too often, our pride stands in the way of dealing with life and life's painful circumstances, and that all too often we will adopt destructive ways to resolve our issues. So if we want to be spiritually healthy and happy and blessed, then we need to humble ourselves before God and become spiritual beggars before God. Have you ever done that? Ever find yourself where you're just a spiritual beggar before God? AA puts it this way: we admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable, and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us. Pride is hoarding power, and humility is giving it away. That being said, and in light of today's text, we might ask, what keeps you rich? What keeps you from being poor in spirit? What keeps you from humbling yourself from God? What keeps you from saying, Jesus, take the wheel, I can't make it on my own? Jesus, take the wheel. Because the truth is, before Jesus can take the wheel, you have to give Him the steering wheel of your life. You got to put Jesus in the driver's seat. You must give him all your mind, your heart, your soul. You have to identify that which is keeping you from giving Jesus the wheel and allowing Jesus to drive your life forward. And I suspect that if you really go searching, and if I really go searching, we will find that there is pride in our life that stands in the way. Now, pride doesn't necessarily mean that you parade your money around. It doesn't necessarily mean you parade your goods and your stuff around. Pride means you put your confidence in your personal achievements, your morality, your religiosity, and your goodness. And you rely on those things to carry you through. Pride means that we can be arrogant, boastful, and obnoxious, that the world and that everything and every situation revolves around us and our desires, what we want to do, what we think is right, what we think is best, what we think is okay. And after all, morally, I'm on the higher ground. More importantly, pride means we don't think Jesus can heal us, restore us, or help us with our problems and sorrows. It means we just don't trust Jesus with whatever it is that keeps us rich, so we cling to those things instead. It means when we ask Jesus to remove the sin of our hearts or whatever it is that keeps us from falling on our knees before him, we just don't trust Jesus to do it, or that he will do it, or that he wants to do it. We're just too prideful to trust him. We're just too prideful to trust Jesus with the things that keep us rich. That was the rich young ruler's problem. He didn't trust Jesus with the stuff. Just didn't trust him. And if we can't trust Jesus and seek him and recognize our need for him, then we can't enter the kingdom. I didn't write this. That's what Jesus says. And the kingdom here isn't just a future thing. It's a now thing. Note, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." For those of you who know your English, that's present tense, not future or past. Jesus says that the possession of the kingdom of heaven is granted, present tense, to those who have this quality. You cannot hold the kingdom in your heart if it's already full of other stuff you love more than Jesus. So you have to come as a spiritual beggar. You have to come as one who comes to God to receive a spiritual remodeling of the soul, a spiritual handout of forgiveness, grace, and love. You have to come for the free stuff. Did you know that Jesus gives away free stuff? How many of you like to get free stuff? You go to the fair, you get free stuff. Well, guess what? Jesus gives away free stuff. The forgiveness of sins is freely given. God's grace is freely given, and God's love is freely given for you on the cross. And it's all free. When we accept that Christ died so we can rise from the ashes of our lives, then we have seen the kingdom of God. This is Jesus' idea of healthy and happy. We're happy when we come to depend on God for everything in our lives. You see, Jesus offers help and ongoing forgiveness to all of us, but we will never receive it or see it if we insist on seeing ourselves as self-sufficient. Because self-sufficient people don't ask for help. They don't admit or confess their sins because they don't see that they have a need for it. I hear people say, "Well, I just do a blanket prayer, God forgive me for whatever I've done today." No, that's not confessing your sins. Confession of sin is recognizing, I've fallen short today of the glory of God, and this is the way that I did it. And I need to be forgiven for that. I need to be forgiven for that. The only way then to come into God's kingdom, and the only way to come to blessing, the only way to be generally healthy and happy both in time and eternity is to what? Is to confess our need for God. Because when we trust God to care for us and support us, then our lives are blessed because we're released from that anxiety and fear that comes when we think we're all alone and we have to survive in our own strength and our own power. So I believe that this is what Jesus meant when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, that when we have a focused dependence on God and give Jesus the wheel of our lives, we are truly blessed. As you go from here, may you go spiritual beggars before God. May you go chasing after the kingdom of God so that you may be blessed and be the blessed, happy, and healthy. And all God's people said,